From the beginning of the day, the disciples knew that the Lord had something special in store. It was a different day from anything they had experienced from the time that Jesus had resurrected. He had revealed himself to numbers of people in numbers of ways, but he had always said to them, at the end of the day, I want you to end up in the same place. I want you to be gathered in the upper room. And the upper room had become kind of their headquarters as they waited to see what would happen after the resurrection of the Lord. And then on this particular day, Jesus gave them instructions. The risen Lord said, I want you to meet me. I want you to meet me on the Mount of Olives. They would ascend past the Garden of Gethsemane and to the top of the mountain itself, turn around and look at Jerusalem spread out beneath them. They knew something was in store. Jesus was getting ready to do something. The call was all part of God's plan. The Lord had new beginnings in store for these disciples, and that day would mark the beginning of those days. It was also the beginning of a new set of compelling questions. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been looking together at some of the compelling questions that Jesus asked of his disciples that culminated in that cry from the cross, why have you forsaken me? Today, we begin to look at some of the compelling questions that were asked in the book of Acts, some of the compelling questions that came from those new believers as the gospel began to spread. And it all begins today, and it all begins on the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus would reveal how the story was going to continue, because his plans are always bigger than anything we can imagine. So I want you to join me. We've read our scripture together from Acts chapter 1 this morning. I want us to look at what was going on between Jesus and his apostles in those early moments of Pentecost. The first thing you discover is this. The disciples had to discover that they could not anticipate what Christ had planned. You know, when I read the first chapter of Acts and I hear that first question that's blurted out, the Bible doesn't tell us who it was that spoke for the whole group, but I have to believe it had to be Peter, because Peter was always the one who would say what everybody else was thinking. Peter was always the one who would just shout something out without thinking about where it was coming from or where it was going next. I just have to believe it had to be Peter. He always was tempted to rush ahead before Jesus showed him the way. It had been that way from the beginning. And throughout those 3 years that he had followed the Lord, it seemed as though Peter was always trying to find a shortcut. Peter was always trying to think ahead. He was trying to anticipate what Jesus was doing and get there first. And this was no exception. Even though the Lord had called them to that place and it was evident something life-changing was going on, it was hard for Peter to let Jesus control the agenda. He just wasn't going to do it. And on that day, instead of waiting for the Lord to tell them why they had come, he just shouted straight out, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, are you going to wrap everything up right here, right now? Jesus, is this it? We've been with you as you've been across teaching and preaching and performing miracles. We've been with you as we heard the things you shared about the kingdom of God. We were there and witnessed the arrest that happened. We know about the cross. We've been to the empty tomb. You've appeared to us in so many ways. Is it time now to wrap it all up? This must be the time when you're going to establish your kingdom. Lord, that's why you've called us up here, isn't it? We're on the Mount of Olives, so you can make the announcement. Okay, this is it. Now we bring everything to a conclusion. I'm going to bring the kingdom here to earth. They were hoping to see God's plan fulfilled right on the spot. Sounds like the disciples, doesn't it? Acting rashly, speaking impulsively, not waiting for Jesus to tell them what was happening. They just jumped ahead. You know, I read that and I think it's so easy for us to find fault with the disciples. It's so easy for us to look back and wonder, why were they so impulsive? It's always easy for us to point to somebody else, isn't it? It's easier for us to see someone else in their walk with the Lord, and we think, how could you jump ahead so quickly? Why couldn't you wait on the Lord? Why do you think you have to come up with the answers first? But the truth is, they're just like the rest of us. Don't we all want the Lord to do everything we need right away? Isn't that the way you walk with the Lord? Lord, I need you to act, and I need you to act right now, whether it's to meet my needs or heal my hurts or answer my questions or grow my soul. Lord, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it right now. The truth is, we all want to set the agenda for the Lord. It's kind of human nature, isn't it? It's kind of human nature for us to say, Lord, I know what you ought to do. I know how you ought to do it. I know where you need to act in my life. So, Lord, do it. Do it my way. Do it right now. Besides, when you think about it, Peter's question really does make sense, doesn't it? Shouldn't the Lord always do things the quick and easy way? Why should we have to endure the hard parts? Wouldn't it be better if we could just trust Jesus for salvation and go straight to heaven? Wouldn't that be a great thing? I mean, it really does make sense, doesn't it? When you come to know the Lord as Savior, shouldn't you just get to go straight to heaven? Just a little few weeks ago, shouldn't we have seen Everett make his profession of faith, and then he's gone? But we wouldn't know because we'd already be gone ourselves if you belong to Jesus. After all, wouldn't that be the best way? Just think, no more dealing with the pull of temptation, no broken hearts, no deep disappointments, no illness to endure, no obstacles to face. It could just all be gone, and we could just go to heaven and we'd be there together, and what a great way to go. Straight to heaven seems like the perfect plan, unless it's not God's plan. And this is what Jesus told his disciples. He said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has put in his own authority. Don't try to second guess God. Don't try to tell him what he should do. There's no purpose in trying to make his decisions or rush ahead of his plan. It's not for you to do that. I don't guess there's anybody in this room, I don't guess there's anybody on this planet who has had an experience where the Lord came to you and said, okay, I'm going to put you in charge for the next 24 hours. You make all of the decisions. You decide how things are going to go, who's going to be touched, how it's going to affect them, how you're going to bless them. You make the decisions. I don't guess anybody's ever had that opportunity. So maybe it's better to wait and let him reveal his purpose in his way and at his time. Jesus revealed his plan. He called them to be witnesses. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall be witnesses. That's the plan. A while ago, I was listening as Rich was talking with our children, and you were talking to them about being witnesses, and I leaned over to Judith, and I said, uh-oh, he's starting to step on my message. To which Judith leaned back over to me and replied, good, maybe we'll get out early. After all of these years, she still has that kind of hope in her heart. Bless you. You shall be my witnesses. I can imagine as Jesus spoke those words to them, he looked back down from the mount to the city of Jerusalem, spread out below him. Just to the north of the city was Judea. Beyond Judea, Samaria, then Galilee, and then the rest of the Roman Empire, the known world. And it was almost as though we were seeing the waves of the ocean. You'll be witnesses to me right in front of you. And then beyond that. And then beyond that. And then to the whole world. Till everybody knows. The gospel would spread far beyond where they were standing. Here's the thing. Wherever there were lost people, Jesus wanted the good news to spread. Wherever there was anybody who had not heard about the love of God and the sacrifice of Christ and the hope of the resurrection, the gospel still needed to go. Every soul precious to God, every one of them needing to know the Lord has sent a Savior. And He was commissioning His followers to take the gospel everywhere to everyone. They were to be witnesses to Him. What does the world need? What does the world need more than anything? The world needs good news. God knows. God cares. God has a plan. His name is Jesus. Witnesses are the only ones who can describe what they have personally experienced. If you're a witness, that means you know something firsthand, up close and personal. You are a witness. It's not, I heard somebody say, or somebody talked to me about this, or I read about it in the news. Well, there's not a newspaper. I read about it online. Instead, it is, I saw it, I heard it, I experienced it. It's all real to me. The only people who would share the gospel were those who had personal experience with Christ. So think with me. It is so easy to imagine how wonderful it would be if salvation led directly to heaven. Except there would be no one remaining to be a witness to the people who have not heard. If your instant response was to go directly to be with the Father, then the sharing of the gospel would be a one-generation event. Jesus would have talked to his apostles would have believed, they all would have gone to heaven, there's nobody left behind except a lost world with no chance to know how much God cares. The disciples were called to be witnesses, and so are you, and so am I. And as believers, we are called to be witnesses of what Jesus has done for us. Sometimes somebody may ask you something like this. Have you witnessed to anybody in order to share your faith? And a lot of us would probably respond, you know, I don't think I could do it. I'd be so self-conscious about it. And not only that, I don't have all the verses memorized. I'm not as smart as those Bible drill kids we saw last week. Or what if they ask me a question and I can't answer it? But you know, Acts reminds us that the only thing it takes to be a witness is to have experienced something and to be able to share it with someone else. I don't have to answer all of your questions to be a witness. I don't have to quote the whole Bible in order to be a witness. You know what it takes to be a witness? This is who I was before Christ. This is how I came to know Him. This is how my life is different. The end. That's all it takes. This is who I was. This is how He saved me. This is who I am because of that salvation. That's all it takes. And here's the thing. We're called to be witnesses to the power of Jesus alone to forgive sins and to save souls for all eternity. And that's why you're here. But that's not all. Jesus also reminded us that God would give them the resources they need. He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Jesus reminded them of what he revealed in the upper room before he was crucified. He was going away so the Holy Spirit could come. Why is that so important? Because as long as God the Son was physically present, he was limited to one place at one time. You could ask the question during those ministry years, "Where is Jesus?" And somebody could give you a specific answer. This is where he is. He's in this village. He's beside this sea. He's involved with these people. He's healing this life. He's raising that one from the dead. This is where he is. But when God the Holy Spirit came, he would be with them everywhere, all the time. No limitations to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in the life of every believer. The Holy Spirit goes where you go. The Holy Spirit empowers you right where you are. And he would empower believers as they carried the gospel into the world. And that's what he's doing today. The history of the church is the history of the Holy Spirit empowering believers to be witnesses and faithful witnesses sharing the gospel wherever they happen to be. And it's just that simple. The indwelling presence of the Lord is with every believer. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, when we begin to answer the question, "Where can I be a witness?" I'm afraid. I'm not sure I'll have the answers. I'm not sure what to do. What if they ask something and I can't answer it? The answer is the Holy Spirit will be with you, and he will empower you and enable you to be an effective witness. You don't have to do this by yourself. The Lord is with you. And he's not with a few of us or the most holy of us. He's with all of us. Every single believer within the sound of my voice is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It happened on the moment you received Christ as Savior. And he is with you, and he will empower you, and he will never leave you. That's not what I think. That's God's guarantee. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the most compelling question was revealed as Jesus returned to the Father. He had assured them, "You will receive power." He had called on them to be his witnesses. And then the Bible says, as they stood together, Jesus ascended before their eyes and was received into the clouds. He returned to be with the Father in heaven. It had to have been an overwhelming experience. I can only think of when the transfiguration, when Jesus was there with Moses and Elijah and the disciples were overwhelmed. Can you imagine what it was like to be standing in the presence of the risen Savior and then you see him as he goes to be with the Lord in heaven? He returns to that place that he left behind to come and save a lost humanity. And as they stood there in shock and awe, two angels appeared to the disciples. And it was they who asked the compelling question. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? Men of Galilee, why are you just standing there? The risen Christ has returned to the Father. The day will come when he will return to claim his own. But in between times, there's work to be done." There still is. The world needs to know about Jesus. It needs to hear the news that he died and he rose again. It needs the good news of the gospel that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They were tempted to remain on the Mount of Olives where they had last been with Jesus. Let's just stay here. Let's stay in the midst of this experience. What a wonderful place to be. Let's just stand here together. But they had a task to fulfill. They had a calling to follow. It was time to go into the world and be witnesses. And you know what happened at that moment? At that moment, the church was born. All of a sudden, there was this group of people, and they're called believers, and they had a mission, and they had a calling. And all they had to do was be faithful. And all the years since that time, the church has been faithful to that task. Let the world know there is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And if you trust Him, He will change you for eternity. Will you follow Him? And that's the witness. That's the witness of our church. That's the witness of that cross. That's the witness of His Word. That's the witness of His people. That's what we're called to do. To let people know this is how you can have a saving, life-changing, eternity-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that should never happen in a place like this, it should never be that anybody could come, attend a Sunday school class, enter into a worship service, hear the proclamation of the Word, and walk out thinking, I don't have the first clue how to know God. Because you do. He sent a Savior. He died for you. He rose again. He's ascended to the Father. And He's offered you the opportunity to join Him and be with Him forever. All you have to do is trust Him as your personal Savior and as your Lord. And maybe today that's exactly what you need to do, personally, individually. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just a moment, we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And if today you feel God pulling at your heart and you recognize, this is what I need to do. Then as we stand and sing, you come, I'll be here at the front. I'll meet you and I would love to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're recognizing, you know what? I need to be part of a church like First Baptist. I need to be part of those people who are witnesses to the saving power of Jesus. And I find that in this place, and I want to not just attend, I want to belong to this church. You need to come. We'd be glad to receive you. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. Maybe God's speaking to you in your heart of hearts, and there's something you need to do in order to say yes to Him. If you need to come, as we stand and we sing, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.